Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Hinkins, and thank you to the commissioners, and appreciate your being here today. I won't take you long because there's an important basketball game going on this evening. I want you to be able to get over and support the girls, so appreciate the chance to be with you. I'm going to offer a few words, and then I'm really here to get your counsel and advice, your thoughts on things, so if you have some things you want to say, I'll be here to listen, and if I have an answer or two, I'll provide that, but otherwise I'll just have to make sure that I can incorporate what you have to say. I find it a new experience being in the Senate. It's a little different than I had expected. First of all, people get along a lot better than I expected. I imagine that Republicans and Democrats, at least among those two groups, would kind of be at each other's throats and be kind of cold when we'd see each other in the hall, but instead people are quite friendly. I was walking home from church on my first weekend in Washington, going through a place called Eastern Market, and someone yelled, "Hey, Mitt, Mitt." I just kept on walking and waved my hand, and she yelled again. She said, "I'm a colleague." And I turned around, and it was a senator from New York, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. She's running for president as a Democrat. She came running up, and she and her husband told us where we should shop for the best bread, where they had the best meat, and then invited us to her house for dinner. Met the senior senator, the Democrat senator, Chuck Schumer, who I've always kind of, you know, watched him on TV. I sort of, you know, stand back. And he turns out that he said, "Hey, you know, my roommate when I was going to law school was Jim Jardine, happens to be a friend of mine who's a lawyer in Salt Lake City." I had no idea. So people tend to get along pretty well, even though we really disagree with each other on issues. And that you'll hear in the things we say and are picking up on the TV. But the personal relationships are pretty solid. And that, I think, is a good thing. We respect each other, even though we agree. Another thing I've learned is there's not a lot of communication that goes on, particularly between Republicans and Democrats. We don't have occasions to get together and talk very often. The best communication so far is between me and Mike Lee. We text each other. That's been the way that we get together each week for a breakfast. We sit down, he and I and our chiefs of staff sit down and have a conversation, but we text each other on legislation coming through. What do you think about this one? What do you think about that one? And we go back and forth. He's a smart guy, has very strong staff, and we've been able to learn from their team. I can tell you that I step into big shoes, and I don't fill them, all right? Orrin Hatch has been there a long time. Orrin Hatch, in terms of seniority, out of 100 senators, he was number one, had more seniority than any other senator. Guess what my seniority is? 97, all right? So where he had the desk right up in front of the Senate chamber, my desk is way in the corner against the wall. And that says something about our relative clout, but there's something that you know that you're familiar with that he's been working on for some 22 years. I was actually exercising in the gym. There's a gym in the office building where I work. And Dick Durbin, who's the number two Democrat in the Senate, was in the gym at the same time. He was working on his stationary bike, and I was on the treadmill next to him. And we began to chat, and he said, he said, "We got a bill coming up known as the Lands Bill." He said, "I know you all been working on that." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I've been out to Emory County a couple times." I said, "You've been out to Emory County?" Sure enough, Dick Durbin, senator from Illinois, has been out to Emory County a couple times. He apparently been out here with SUA, I imagine, with others that had interests in environmental issues and want to do certain things in the county. And so he'd been here. He said, "You know, some 22 years ago, I've been working on a lands bill relating to Emory County." I thought that was unusual. He and Orrin Hatch and others have been working on this. And as I've gotten to know better through my campaign and since the campaign, the people of Emory County, I've learned something about the history. I hope I get this right, but I think there were a lot of 25 years ago that said, you know, with so much of our county being federal land under BLM or the Forest Service, we kind of wonder what's going to happen in the future. And with such a big portion of our county, which is a wilderness study area where we can't even use the roads, we don't know what's going to happen down the road. Is it always going to be a wilderness study area where we don't get to use the roads? We don't have multiple use? So there were a lot of questions. And by the way, is the president going to come along and do what presidents have done in other parts of the state, which is come in to declare a national monument, which would tie up our land and keep us from multiple use for a long, long period of time? Perhaps no grazing, no four-wheeling, and so forth, not being able to use roads that are currently used in parts of our BLM land. And so people said, we got to come together and see what we can do about this. And so the commissioners and other elected officials, as well as public representatives from the power generation community, from the mining community, from agriculture, from recreational vehicles, tourists, environmentalists, all came together and formed something known as the Public Land Council, just opened up the doors and said, come on in, and they met once a month. And after a lot of discussion and negotiation, they said, look, let's draw the boundaries of the wilderness area and a recreation area and have some security that we know that in the future we're not going to lose our capacity for grazing and for four-wheeling and for access on the on these roads that go through these areas. And they came together, and of course the Democrats, they wanted to take over, I'm exaggerating, but wanted to take over almost the entire county. SUA wanted, I think it was 1.2 million acres of wilderness area. And that obviously would be quite a change. And so they were insistent on that. So all these people came together and had a discussion. And after a lot of work, they came to a conclusion that said, okay, this isn't 100% for any one of us, but it does give us some certainty. And we're not going to have 1.2 million additional acres go into wilderness under the SUA proposal, but we're going to be able to provide, let me get the right number here, and we're going to get an additional 130,000 acres of wilderness, but we're also going to be able to have 270,000 acres of recreation area that allows us to use roads as well as grazing rights and mineral rights and so forth, and the rest of the land will remain as BLM land. So this was negotiated. By the way, I wasn't part of that process, as you can imagine, because I've only been around as a senator for a couple of months, not even two full months. But this was worked out by this land council and by the commissioners and by Orrin Hatch and his team, along with the Democrats who wanted more, wanted something different. And they came together with a compromise, which became part of a land bill. And that land bill was going to be voted on last year, but got held up at the last minute and then came up for a vote this year. Now, I think that this was the most important part of the land bill, but I didn't realize there were 100 bills in total that were all put together as a national land bill, because all sorts of places throughout the country had things they were interested in. And by the way, there were other things in our land bill that related just to us. One is transferring a lot of SITLA land where there's wilderness area or recreation area, taking it out of those areas so it could now be used for mining and for other commercial purposes, with about $150 million of value for our schools. That was one thing that was done as well. Expanding also Goblin Valley, almost doubling the state park there. These were all part of the proposal. And it made it to the Senate floor. It ended up being successful by a vote of 92-8, which is kind of unusual. And by the way, for something to happen in Washington, this is something I hadn't recognized. I guess I knew it intellectually, but I just didn't know it in my heart. For something to actually become a law in this country, Democrats have to support it and Republicans have to support it, both. And you think, wait a second, don't we have we had the House, we don't now, but we had the Senate and the White House. Why would we need Democrats? Well, because in the Senate, for something to become a law requires 60 votes. And Republicans only have 53. So you got to get at least 7 Democrats to vote for it. And the Democrats vote as a block, just like the Republicans, by and large, vote as a block. So unless you get Republicans and Democrats to agree to something, it won't become a law. So for that to happen, obviously, you got to have some meeting of the mind. And you got to have both sides feel like they won. And both sides have to go to their communities that support them, their base voters, and say, guess what? We won. And we smile at them and say, go ahead and tell your people what you won. And we're going to tell our people we won because we really did. But that's the kind of communication that has to happen for something to become a law in Washington. So obviously with 2-6, both sides felt that they won. So that's now passed the Senate. The lands bill now goes to the House. And I presume it'll be passed in the House as well, and the president will sign it. Obviously, with 100 bills in it, it has a lot of land issues. This comes up every, by the way, there'll be a new land bill another 5 or 6 years. The result of all this is we now have some certainty as to where's wilderness area, where's recreation area, where's Forest Service land, where's regular BLM land. The prospect of the president ever coming in and saying, I now want to designate all this as a national monument, that's been reduced dramatically. That's very unlikely to happen by virtue of the agreement that's been reached. And so we have some certainty for grazing, for recreation, for ATVs, and also for people who want to be able to have a natural wilderness area to hike and to horseback ride in. So that's what's happened so far. I'm happy to chat with you about that or the things. By the way, there are some other important reforms that were in that bill that I haven't mentioned. I'll get into if you'd like to, but there's something known as the Equal Access to Justice Act, EJA. And there was a reform in that area that is really important for those of us that are concerned about abuses in lawsuits regarding public land. So a number of things happened, most of which I think were good. So any thoughts, questions? Yes, sir. Hi.
So I got a couple questions.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate you coming and hearing us out on this. And so on May 9th, this bill was presented and it's from the county, the Emory County bill.
Uh-huh.
That they presented it. Since May 1st, there's been about wilderness designated that was on top of this. I'm wondering if you guys are aware of it. And we've lost 72 miles of road. I'm wondering if you was updated from what the original bill was. Updated you and so a law right here that says that they're supposed to go through legislation to get their approval before it moves on. So if you got the approval from legislation in Utah, was it back in May 1st or was they updated on it today's date? So we're, you know, there's 250,000 acres different. And the only one that's calling this a win is the environmentalist suicide.
No, I'm calling it a win too, by the way. And so, Well, I'm going to let the response come in terms of the land, but we were fully aware of changes as they've gone along. So I wasn't a senator back in May, so May of last year. So the bill that I saw was a bill that included the full designations and was fully supported by the council that had helped negotiate that. But in terms of the specifics of the question, let me turn to one of the commissioners and let them respond to anything in that, or Kelsey, if you'd like to respond.
Let me respond first.
Yeah, please, Senator.
I'm actually the chairman of the Public Lands Commission for Utah, myself and Representative Strack. Some of the reach that is there, when you take a, if you have a circle and you take some of the acreage wilderness increased because we took Sitla ground and moved it into other areas down by Woodside where our county has industrial park. Some of it was out by the Suckle Mine, by the Bronco Mine, and some of it's been traded for BLM for Sitla ground, which is productive grounds. And some of it was traded to Uinta County and some other areas up around the Salt Lake area so they can expand some of the areas in Cedar Ridge and stuff. So when you take that out, that automatically is already de facto wilderness because it's inside of their wilderness area. But when you take those out, that increases. You take a 640 out, that becomes wilderness just because you took it out. It was already, but they couldn't classify the ground as wilderness because they didn't own it. And so that increased some of the land. And I know there was an extension further. I wasn't aware of that because that we didn't have them come before our stewardship lands commission. But I think we voted on it in September and approved it. And at that time, and I think they had to do some negotiating with them, the part down by Wayne County, and so all that.
Yeah, I, by the way,
increase just because of the fact you took Sitla ground out, and now they could say it's their ground.
I just want to make sure that you are supporting, you as a senator, supporting what's was it really there, or was it something you were supporting on May 9th?
No, the legislation that was brought by the way, this is not coming from me telling you all what should be done in Emory County. This is instead saying, Emory County, here's what we want to have. And I just said, hey, if that's what you guys want, I'm with you. And when the CITLA guys, and I hope we have some CITLA folks here who feel they won. I don't want to disabuse them of that, because if they don't think they've won, they're going to try and get the House to vote it down. But their proposal was 1.4 million more acres. All right. They wanted 1.4 million more acres of wilderness area in Emory County. And what they got is 130,000 acres. So, you know, they feel like, hey, we got 130,000 acres. And we go, yeah, well, you want a 1.4 million. So who's, whether that's a win or a loss, the key thing is what was a wilderness study area, which could not be used for grazing or for roads going through it. Now, some is wilderness area and some is recreation area, and the roads are able to be accessed. There are no roads inside the wilderness area, the new wilderness area. There are no roads inside that area. They've actually put, what do they call it? They call it cherry picking, whatever. Cherry stem, where they've gone through and they said on either side of this road, it's not wilderness area. So you're able to drive through and to get into the recreation area, and all the recreation area roads, which are of course on flat areas, are basically flat areas, are all able to be used.
And I'll add one more. We did lose 72 miles of road, a trail, which was something.
I'm looking for.
Ray Peterson would be a good one.
Well, is Ray Peterson around? Ray, they said they lost 72 miles of road. Is that right?
All the roads that are currently open now on BLM land, according to the 2008 resource management plan, are open in this non-spectrum plan.
So if there's a communication issue, talk to Ray. Ray is responsible in the community for public land management. He's a county official, not a government or a federal official. And the roads that were designated in 2008 as being public roads are not affected by this bill. Yeah.
We asked the commission to adopt one of the four amendments, and it was no net loss, and they disputed that, since no.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
I'll stop it there.
Okay.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, all right, thank you. And we're doing our best is to say, look, because I'm a multiple use guy, by the way, my preference would be number one, this is all state land. I don't want it federal land. I'd like it to be state land. I don't know why so much of our state has to be federal land. But getting the Democrats to go along with that is not something that's gonna happen soon. And my guess is we're not gonna get even the Republicans to go along with that. But number two, if it can't be a state land, I'd like it to be state managed. I hate it having to be federal managed. I'd like to be able to have the capacity to manage it ourselves, particularly where we got forest, where we have the risk of wildfire, because we'll do a better job of thinning out the forest than the feds will. Then number three, if we can't have that, I at least want to have some definition of what type of land is recreation, what is wilderness, and what is standard BLM land, so that we have some certainty and we're not going to have a president come in and declare whole swaths of land as being a monument, which could kill our energy generation, which could kill our coal mining and other extractive industries, keep us from being able to use to graze cattle, and keep ATVs off our roads. So it's kind of a trade-off as to what's the best deal. And my vote was based on hearing from people who were representing the community, saying, "Hey, we think this is the best deal we're gonna be able to get." Yes, sir.
So I want you to talk on. You keep talking about certainty of us knowing how the land would be used, but if you read the bill, there's no thou shalt, no thou shalt not. It all says whether it's outdoor recreation, outfitting, motorized vehicle, grazing. It all says the Secretary of the Interior has unchecked authority to come up with a plan. But that's not going to be written until after the bill's already passed. So how can you give us certainty if no details have been spelled out? In fact, specifically with motorized roads, it says that the Secretary of Interior will determine which roads will be designated as used for motorized.
That's not my understanding, Ray. He's saying that it's all up in the air. You're saying that the roads in recreation area are able, under the bill, are able to be used.
The bill itself does not address those. there will be, here I have a management plan written. There will be an advisory council appointed with 7 members.
So, okay. So that's my concern. We've heard this strategy before where they say we have to kind of strategy with Obamacare. So how, I would like you to, how you know that there's any certainty of what this is going to be.
Look, this isn't my bill. I didn't write it. All right, so this comes from your elected officials. So because your elected officials said this is the best thing for Emory County. All right, because Mike Lee wanted to have a designation that there would be the entire state of Utah. Well, by the way, I should let him answer that. But the entire state of Utah would be exempted from the Antiquities Act. All right, which I'm all in favor of. I was co-sponsor of that. Make sure that Utah cannot be designated, any part of Utah as an antiquity. All right, I'm all in favor of that. But realize there's not one Democrat that'll vote for that. So anytime you say that to vote for something that you have to agree with that, that means nothing's gonna happen. So by the way, but I'm all in favor of that. We voted for it, but it didn't get any Democrat votes. So that's the challenge. Yeah.
You supported it, but you keep telling us that you have certainty that this law will be a good thing for us.
Well, would you rather have a wilderness study area forever? Because that's the possibility. The current, it's, we got to talk about what we have versus what we'd like to have. So what we have is a wilderness study area. Let me finish, please. And then you can speak. What we have is a wilderness study area. And the wilderness study area prevents grazing and use on those roads. So now what we have is designation. Wilderness study area is gone. Now we have a wilderness area and we have national recreation area. National recreation areas do have the use of roads for recreational vehicles and for grazing. That's standard in national recreation areas. So the question is, are we better off than we were? Or would you go, by the way, it's conceivable to go back and just say, hey, look, let's just let them keep with a wilderness study area and potential designation as a monument down the road, and hey, we'll live with that. Or would you rather have more certainty? This gives us more certainty. I believe so. And that's...
You believe it gives more certainty by giving the Secretary of Interior...
He's already got that. He's already got that. The Secretary of Interior already has that. It's a wilderness study area. And on that basis, there's no multiple use in any of it.
Okay, so if that's the case...
Is that not the case? That's the case.
It sounds like, then, this is all about an appeasement policy. Can you give me an example of when appeasement...
It's not an appeasement policy, so I don't know why you would suggest it is.
I'm a grazer. I don't feel like I won. I ride motorcycles and four-wheelers. I don't feel like I won.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you rather keep it the way it is? Would you rather keep it as a study area where you can't graze in the land and where you can't use the roads? Because that's what it is now. Do you want that? Do you want it the way it is now? Because your choice is something where you keep it as a national study area and you can't use it for grazing and you can't use it for highways, or you have a national recreation area where you can. So that's the question. And by the way, we can go back to the uncertainty. We can go back to the uncertainty. But that's the
open routes everywhere in the swell, and they're right in the middle of a wilderness study area. But I would like to ask you if you know about the formal letter of protest that citizens of Wayne County have signed and sent in. And the reason that they're doing this is because all this wilderness is right on top of the north end of their county. And it's shutting them down in there. Hanksville struggles to survive. And they're going to lose tons of revenue because OHVs aren't going to be coming in there. Nobody's going to be accessing the north end of their county because the north end is shut down. So their commissioners have signed this letter. Their citizens have signed this letter. But, you know, I grew up next to Wayne County. My ex-wife, sorry, sweetie, is from Wayne County. She's, all her family is there. So my heart goes out to these folks because there is not a lot there. And you're shutting down artists. And by the way, I'm sorry, but this is your bill. You inherited this. You have to defend it because, you know what, Warren's not here.
I'm defending it today, right?
President, take back Utah, at every event, Orrin Hatch would shake my hand and tell me how he supported recreation with OHVs and motorized access. And then this is what we get when he's gone.
Oh, wait a second. You're suggesting he wasn't responsible for this bill?
Oh, I'm saying he was.
Okay.
Very much.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right. I agree.
I agree.
As to Wayne County, we'll deal with Wayne County with the issues they have, and hopefully they'll find a good way to make things work. But let's take a look and see how we can make things better for Wayne County. But this today is about what's right for Emory County. And the question again is this. Would you rather have the uncertainty of being designated as a national monument and the ongoing wilderness study area? And that's the question. By the way, if you'd rather have that, let me tell you, just takes that fast, we can go back and tell the president, don't sign this, take it out. Let's just be, we'll keep it as it is, a wilderness study area. But let me tell you something. You've had 22 years of people working on this, and the people closest to it say, this is good for us, this is good to make sure that we have greater certainty. Ray, you're the guy responsible for this. Yeah, let's let him make a comment.
That's the road trail, the motorized.
Ray, come up here.
Come on up.
Carol, there's one thing we get off talking about, but it'll happen.
And seeing there's complete inaccessibility to get on any of these if you designate them. If you put a sign up that says, hey, this is redesignated, you're a senior. You can know what you do. You can't get on a horse. You can't hike in here. Just use memory, because that's the only thing you're going to have to get to these areas anymore, because it's going to be on memory, because I won't be able to go on there. I can't get out there and walk 20 miles a senior anymore. I never could. But I can get on my ATV and see this
coming. I've got with you by a few years, and I'm good with this, because there's one thing that is going to happen, whether this bill passes or it doesn't. And it has to do with SUA, Department of the Interior Settlement Agreement. It was Judge Kimball in Salt Lake said in January 2017, those roads will be evaluated by BLM. The ones in the Price Field office, Richfield, Moab, Monticello, Brimel, they're all going to be reevaluated. That is going to have more to do with these roads and trails in this bill, because the bill is not addressing. The bill says that settlement agreement will take place, because Congress can't tell a federal judge, no, what you said isn't going to go. So that is going to determine anything that's done with roads, not this bill. Within 5 years, there will be a management plan written by the advisory council, which will also include looking at the roads and trails.
Is this after the bill's been passed? That doesn't leave us a lot of room.
Why wouldn't you adopt the no-net loss?
Why don't you do that? Why don't you put language in this bill that says we're not going to close your roads?
This is being recorded. I'm wondering if the four people made a comment, if they would stand and state where they're from so that we can make sure that we keep our records straight. I can't hear, and I don't hear at all.
She's standing. My name is Joan Powell, currently serving as the mayor in Wellington, Utah. And I want to know where we got off track that you couldn't do more than 5,000 acre swatches. Why does it jump to the 100,000? And the next thing I want to say is I was just down to Tickaboo, the Glen Canyon Recreation Area. You don't ride four wheelers inside the park area. It doesn't matter if it has recreation on it. You don't get to ride. So that's kind of a farce. I don't see recreation areas as being the answer. I want to see wilderness come to an end. Why do we have to have a designation on every square inch of our ground? Why are we not at liberty to enjoy our American land?
And you want to know the answer to that? You know the answer to that?
So is the answer.
That's the answer. The answer to that is that there are a bunch of... Look.
Our commissioner let him in the door, and they won.
Yeah.
By the way, if you really think that we're better off going back to what you had before with a wilderness area, and by the way, a potential designation for a monument, you think about that, all right? Because the people who've been working on this for 22 years, not me, I wasn't around, But for the last 22 years have said, this is the best thing for our county and for our future and for us to plan for the future. And by the way, if the heavy hand of the, if you will, the environmental community gets its way, we're going to be in real trouble. So they found something which they think gives us better certainty for the future. But by the way, this is coming from you guys, and this has been open for discussion and with county meetings and town meetings for years. And this was the conclusion. And by the way, I agree with you. Wouldn't it be great? I told you my number one preference is it's all state land. It's not federal land. But by the way, we don't have 100% of the votes. It's a democracy, all right? And so people of two different sides. And so getting people on both sides to agree to something. Pardon? What was the question? Go ahead. We're a republic. We are a republic. And the people that we elect.
I warned Senator Bowman last year to take that bill to the president, come and stick it in the trash can. Them people are pretty good stewards on their own. Let them take care of it.
So by the way, what that means is it stays as federal land, federal study, wilderness study area. Forever. And by the way, next time you have a Democrat president, that Democrat president can say, just like they did in other parts of our state, millions of acres can't be used for mining.
By the Democrat president.
Pardon?
Secretary of the Interior will be designated by a Democratic president or whoever. And again, the Secretary of the Interior has unchecked authority to create this management plan.
So, let's just go back. So what would you like to do? What's your suggestion? Your suggestion is don't elect a Democrat president. I'm in favor of that. All right. So, but you got the reality of there are going to be Democrat presidents from time to time. And so what makes us better off?
Why is there a need to pass this bill?
By the way, you don't think I came up with this, do you? All right. This was not me coming up with this bill. This was people who represent your county coming up with this bill. So I don't know why it is I'm up here defending it and they're not. All right. So the guys who are behind this, get up and talk, will you? Get up here. This is a bill, by the way, that's been worked on for 22 years, but pushed for 22 years, has 100 different pieces of legislation in it. So there is not an option to, quote, renegotiate the bill because there are 50 states all have pieces of it. It's one piece of legislation, one law.
There's one person, one group celebrated in the SULA, and it should be more balanced.
Well, you know, it is balanced. Let me tell you, if they went out there asking for 1.4 million acres, and they ended up getting 130,000 acres. By the way, they got a business to run. They got to go out and tell people, oh, look at this great thing we did. We got 130,000 acres. They wanted 1.4 million. That ain't no victory in my book.
They're happy with what they got.
Pardon?
You
know, we ought to, let me tell you, this came from us. This didn't come from them. We're happy with what we got.
I imagine Sue being real happy with this bill. And if we had a fighting for it, get them off.
Yeah,
go to their website. They're celebrating.
Yeah,
they are.
Let me tell you something. Don't judge whether you won or lost by whether someone else celebrates. All right, because they got to celebrate. They've got to celebrate because they got to go out and tell their people and give them money that they had a big victory. But let me tell you. But the reason that Republicans are celebrating is because we finally got this wilderness study area off the back of our county. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
My problem is we're in the Constitution that just says that the federal government can own any of our land.
I'll tell you where.
Right. It's our resources, our natural rights by birth. Why do they get control over the land and the resources and keep us from it?
I'll give you the answer. And that is when Utah petitioned to be a state, it granted the federal government rights over a certain portion of the land. That's what the people in Utah did. Under the Constitution, people have the right to make contracts. And Utah made a contract with the federal government and gave the management of the land to the federal government. And that was what we did. And by the way, the entire West did the same thing. Well, the percentage of our state that's federal land is about 70%. Nevada's even higher than ours. But the states that are west of Iowa pretty much have 50% or more, which is federally managed land. Why that is, does not make sense to me. I would like it not to be, but that's the way it is. Pardon?
I think EPA has hurt our land more than they have helped. They've mismanaged our land. We've got fires all over the place because they mismanaged the forest.
I agree.
They are in control over more land than many nations. Now that to me is scary. And they, why do they have tactical gear and guns?
Evil controls the land, the water, and the air controls the
exactly. Because we're losing more and more all the time, and we're sick of it. We're getting sick of it.
If you can convince enough people in our country that we should be able to take back that land, then we'll be able to get there. I told you that's, I totally agree with you. I would like all of the federal land, well, other than our national parks, I'd like the federal land to be under state control. But our state, along with all the other Western states, agreed to sub, pardon?
We have the federal government in every game of our life. We're losing our freedom. We have to have permits for this, permits for that, for our own property, state taxes. No, I mean, they're just in every vein of our life. That's why I see people are just getting tired of it, starting to stand up, pulling back against it. We're tired of over-regulation.
Right. Okay. Yes.
This guy's been standing here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
My name is Steve Hawkins. I'm president of the Utah ATV Association, vice president of the Utah OHV Association. I live in West Jordan, but I recreate quite a lot down here in Emory County. And it's been made very clear that we're all unhappy with this. I'm not going to beat that horse any further on this. My question right now is, there's a lot of areas down here on the south side of I-70 around Sweeney's Cabin, Justice and Flats, where people go out and they dry camp. We take our toy haulers out there. How is this going to affect that? Are we not going to be able to do that anymore? Because, I mean, by what we're seeing as far as these cherry-stemmed routes, you've got an 80-foot right-of-way on anything on either side of that is wilderness. How is that going
to
affect
recreation area, those areas are in the recreation area, you're recreating those. And that's where most of those routes go, is to either the historic mining areas or the historic camping areas. So, and again, that will be addressed in the management plan.
So we don't know what is.
Well, let me intervene a little bit, because on the RS-2477 roads, we're in a lawsuit right now, and we've appropriated about $5 million as a state to do depositions of people that built these roads. Owen Price is one of them that some of the people with now has passed on, but we do have the depositions of these roads. Well, we're in the process of appropriating another $1 million to assist Kane County in their lawsuit against with the BLM on the RS-2477 roads there. And Mike Noel, who everybody knows, has been involved with this plan of transfer of public lands. But these roads are going to be determined by that more than the Department of Interior.
What the bill says.
Well, I know, but the RS-2477 roads has already been a nationwide. This environmental movement hasn't started here. It started down when President Clinton started Grand Staircase. It started there, then it's gone to Bergeres, which is in my district that I've been fighting. President Trump finally got a president that would rescind it. And I think the only way that Senator Romney, we're ever going to be able to get more Democrats to sign on to this, where they can't do these presidential nomination or designations, is if Trump would have kept going and rescinded even more and more and more. And then we would have got the Democrats to sign on. If they found out that they could shrink them just as easy as they expand them, I think we'd have got some Democrats. But we got to give President Trump, we got to get behind him, so that give him some, so he can start shrinking a lot more of these national parks. Not national parks so much as the monuments, yeah.
You know, the reality, just a minute, the part it says it in the bill, RS-2477, subject to valid existing rights. RS-2477 are not subject to this bill. Title V rights of way that the county has are not subject to that. Those are valid existing rights.
It's just like saying he can say shut down I-70, which that can't happen.
In section 102C, it says that the hunting may be authorized to the extent necessary to the activities to fulfill the purpose of the bill. Who's going to determine that? The Secretary of the Interior. And that guy will change every 4 to 8 years.
Who does it today? Who does it today? Well, no, it's the same. It's the same person today.
It's not going to change if I read this bill there or not. I mean, he can do that right now.
You know, guys, let me tell you. Don't assume everything. The worst at every setting. I just don't assume the worst at every setting. Right now, all that is under the auspices of the Secretary of Interior. That's the way it is right now. It continues. That doesn't change. Because recognize, you have to get both parties to agree.
So we appease to them.
No, you have to get both. We have to get something we want, and they have to get something they want. That's how it has to work.
Well, this is not a win.
Well, this is a lot less land than they could have taken, and by the president could take through a wilderness area designation. And number two, under the wilderness study area, the bureaucrats in Washington, not even a president, the bureaucrats in the BLM could take huge tracts of land, and as soon as they say it's a wilderness study area, the rules of a wilderness study area immediately apply.
Okay. One last question, I'll be quiet. Can you explain to me, let me rephrase it actually, once this is passed, do you as Congress have any authority over what the Secretary of the Interior decides is going to happen with this land?
The answer is yes, because we create new law. There's a new land bill every. The answer is the Secretary of Interior reports to the President. The President responds to the American people. If the people are upset about something, then obviously that hasn't. Why do you think the President, for instance, reversed Bears Ears and Grand Staircase? Because he listened to the people of Utah. That's why that was done.
You are giving unchecked power.
They have that power. I'm sorry. They have that power today.
That's the bill that stops it.
Well, all right. That would be great. You have to look at where you'd like to get a setting where the federal government doesn't have any control over our land. All right. That's where you'd like to get. Where the Secretary of Interior doesn't have that power. Where the BLM isn't running our land. We'd all like that. All of us that are of a conservative persuasion. Pardon?
I said you've had 45.
Yeah, and I've had 45 days to do that. That's right. Look.
I don't care that you didn't write it. No. You supported this.
This is better than what we have now. This is better than what we have now. By the way, if you'd rather have the uncertainty of SUA, there is no certainty in life. There's no certainty except death and taxes. All right? But if you want to have the uncertainty we have now of this being a felled wilderness study area, that whole area, this is now, there is more certainty than there was before. That's the good news. And the Sitla land, there's all this little Sitla land all around it. Now all gets pulled together, taken out of the wilderness area, is able to be used for mineral extraction. There are very positive things. That's why this came forward from the people you elected and was taken to Washington, and why Orrin Hatch supported it, and why he worked on it, because he thought it was better, not as good as you'd like to have, but better than what we had.
The problem management plan.
Oh, yeah.
Probably going to get a lot of enemies right here. I supported this legislation clear back 20 years ago when Van Johnson started it. And the commissioners at that time and the Public Lands Council was put together at that time. And the thought then is the same as the thought now. The county was trying to put something together that would protect our county a little bit. If we had a title to that land, we could do whatever we wanted with it. I know we all feel so passionate about it being ours, you know, because we've been here. And but the fact of the matter is, we do have a little bit more leverage just by hanging on to what we've got now. And by going through this legislation, we're gonna tie some things up. We're gonna buy some time. They won't be able to designate it for a monument for quite a while. You know, our next president could easily be a Democrat. We know that this is the next one on the list. Everybody's pretty much said that. Sue, all of them, they want this. They want this designation. They want it bad. I'm a permittee. I run cattle out there. Most of you know that. I'm also a recreator. I love to drive my four-wheeler on them trails. I run cows in the wilderness study area. I drive up and down that Devil's Racetrack on my four-wheeler, and I ride my horse on it. I hate to give this up, you know. I love it. And I know you guys all feel the same way. But the fact of the matter is, all we can do is get legislation that buys time. It's still federal land. It's still going to be managed by the Department of the Interior. There's still going to be resource management plans every, what do they come up, every 15 years?
10 years we have.
Every 10 years, where you have to go through the whole process of what we're going to do with the land again. We don't own it. We have permits on it. As long as we have permits on it, we're using it. That gives us a little bit of integrity and a little bit of grasp on it, but we still do not own it. Senator Romney's just trying to make get us something that works. It's also protecting our coal mines. We're trading civil leases over by Lila Canyon, which our county can get a bunch of money from because they're going to be able to mine it. Well, they're trading that for wilderness sections out in the wilderness study areas that are already in that wilderness study area. You can't get to that. There's no coal under it anyway. They're able to move it over there where they can harvest it, you know. It's a win-win for our county. President Trump, you all know, I know most of you would want one of these hats on. President Trump's trying to help us too. Right now we have a president who's put it online. He came to Utah, he signed off and said we're going to protect it, we're going to get behind the people, and now we've got a senator that's trying to put some legislation to slip through Congress to help us, and we ought to be behind him. I don't know why we're fighting.
All the commissioners are in here, but some of you attended a meeting a couple of weeks ago where they individually expressed how hard this has been to come to the conclusion to run this bill. But they're unanimous in their support. There are many Public Lands Council members in here and past members like Cash that have worked on this for a long time. This wasn't the senator's idea. This was Emory County's idea. Some of you don't agree with that. I respect that, and I understand why mostly. But this has gone through a process for a lot of years, a lot of people involved, and trying to make the best decision for Emory County. These commissioners are suffering personally by making this decision. They're not getting anything out of it. It's been a hard decision. We've got it in Congress now, and I believe it's the best thing to do. It's the best option we've got now. The option to do nothing makes no sense.
He's been there. He's going to Price. Are you on your way back to Salt Lake? Did you ask the questions when he gets to Price? Because he's been waiting longer. He's,
go ahead.
Let everybody have a turn. Everybody,
my name is Scott. I'm glad I came and have a lot more support for this than I thought I originally did. I just have one question about the monument designation. And probably has to do in your area, because as I understand, and I've been down to San Juan County a lot, also as well as I love this area even more, to be honest. The actual Bears Ears itself is in a national forest area, if I'm correct. And yeah, within that national forest area, there's also wilderness area. And that got designated a national monument, so I'm confused how this is going to stop or eliminate a national monument. That's been mentioned many times. I don't know how that all worked.
I think that the people who, both in Washington and here, who look at it say, given the passage by Congress of a bill that divides the county as it has been divided, makes it far less likely that some president's going to come in and blow it all apart. Does it make it illegal for them to do that? No. Unfortunately, under the Antiquities Act, the president, one person, a president can come in and designate a monument. Lisa Murkowski, who is the senator from Alaska, interestingly, her state is not subject to the Antiquities Act. Alaska is not. But she has proposed legislation saying no president can do that unless the state legislature agrees. I sponsor that as well. We will fight to get that through. Whether we can get 6 or 7 Democrats to go along, I don't know. But we're hoping to get enough Democrats to go along to say no president can designate anything as a national monument unless the state legislature agrees. So then we'd finally have real certainty, because the state legislature is not going to let that happen. But in the interim, the next step we could take to make it less likely that a president would step in and unilaterally declare a national monument is by having had an agreement that moves from study area to being designated. But it's not a sure thing. It's not a 100% sure thing. It's just more certainty than we had before.
I've asked it 3 times and never got a true answer out of it. Why doesn't it come under the discrimination of the handicapped and the elderly to where they can't walk in to see some of these sites? Why is it discrimination? If you had a cafe, for instance, and you didn't have a wheelchair accessible area to go to the restroom, they'd shut you down. Why is this any different than anything else?
Because
see why they don't, because they're part of the same group. I think a lot of us, the environment, these guys are attorneys that have groups that goes around and do nothing but sue. And I think that they can't, nobody puts money in their war chest if they don't have a war. And that's exactly what will happen. They, as far as they said, everybody said Sue's felt this is a win for them. They think they've won the war. And they'll be this county alone, I think. They're not going to be content until they see all that orange right there on the Red Rock Wilderness in every county. Yeah. And maybe not even then. And with the hope, well.
The Americans with Disabilities Act does not require disabled access to places that are if you will, natural, such as the Grand Canyon or wilderness areas.
Mm-hmm. I come to a county commissioner meeting a week or so ago when they had it at 6:30 in the morning for whatever reason. But anyway, I asked a question. A few years back, they would want to do a monument on our dinosaur tour. Our commissioners and Ray Peterson told me I didn't know what I was talking about. And don't tell me you didn't, Ray. And Bob Kay got the article that was on that, that was going to be. And all I asked is what happened to it. Kent Wilson said he didn't know nothing about it. Well, Ben Citrin said he didn't know nothing about it.
I wasn't there.
Ray Peterson said he didn't know nothing about it.
Come on.
Marvin Wilson said he didn't know anything about it. So that's what I think about our county commissioner.
Well, I was involved. I went down there visit the Cleveland Lloyd Dinosaur Quarry, and Arch Allred and his father, their grandpa, Cheryl Ward, your father. That's their permittees. They wrote the perimeter of it, and they made some boundary changes. They're very aware of it. They're the ones that was okay with this. So,
and that was part of this. What happened to it?
It's part of this.
So I don't
know. It's on that map.
I was at your meeting.
That's part of
it. You guys said you didn't know a thing about it.
I was confused.
Well, if you guys are coming at him like that, I don't blame him. I mean, you know, you want to whip his ass or what?
You said.
You got one more question.
I don't mean to change the subject. I want to talk about something that's actually going on. Like, I've seen your name on the news with the national emergency that's going on right now, where you're wanting to stop Trump from doing it, or something the Democrats are getting ready to vote on, and that's going to be something you're going to vote on. Mm-hmm. I voted my opinion on Facebook, and I asked you to come here on Facebook. But I want to really it's my opinion, that I'm with Trump on it. And I want to let you know that where Utah people are, you hear up in West Valley, you'll hear there's more liberals up there. You'll hear they're not for it. We're the ones that got you elected, and I want you to know that we're behind Trump all the way, and that's where we want you to be. And not pushing back on him, vote with him. And this is going to be something, the reason he was elected, and I know you ran for president, the reason he was elected and why we believe he's doing a good job because he's doing what he told us he was going to do. And he told us he's going to build a wall, and that's what we want. Okay. I just wanted you to know that. Where you're at on that.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me just note this, which is the designation as an emergency to do this would represent the a dramatic increase in the power of the executive branch in our country. In a way that has not been done before. And that's why a number of us have said all along, way in the process, please don't declare an emergency and use that as the way to get the wall. Because the president has access to build a wall of some $2 to $4 billion that's been authorized by Congress, $2 to $4 billion to keep building. He wants an additional $3 billion. So he's got $2 to $4 billion. He wants an additional $3 billion. The additional $3 billion requires an emergency declaration. An emergency declaration would say, guess what? Even though the Congress met Republicans and Democrats, and voted you the money, $2 to $4 billion. You've got that money, and you signed that bill. You can put that aside as the president and do whatever you want to do. Now, I just ask you this question, which is, do you want to give a Democrat president that power? Because, by the way, and this is what Nancy Pelosi said, a Democrat president might say, we have a national emergency, all these gun deaths. And I, as president, even though Congress says no, I, as president, because of this national emergency, I'm taking away all the assault weapons, or I'm taking away all of this weapon. I don't want a president to do that. All right. So that's the issue, which is, how much power do you want to give the president without Congress being able to say yes or no? And that's the question here. And so we're going to look at the law that was the Emergency Power Act and see if he's following it. And number two, consider what the implication is for what power you want to give the president of each party. And that was the point that has been made, which is, do you want to have, when the Congress has actually reached a conclusion and said you can have $2 to $4 billion, do you want to let the president by himself without Congress say something different? And by the way, think about, this is the same sort of thing as we're talking about with designation of a monument. Do you want a president to unilaterally be able to do that? Or do you want them to have to get the approval of the legislature? And so that's, the Constitution has a balance of power. That's the idea. One side checks the other. And that's why this is an important topic. And I'm not ready to tell you how I'm going to vote on it yet, because we're studying to see both the constitutional implication and the Emergency Power Act to see whether this conforms with the act or not.
We just got through saying we don't want one man to have all the power in designated wilderness areas. Now you're saying we want him to have it, and we don't want him to have it.
We all agree we want someone to have the power to do what we want.
Where's the meeting at Price?
And the wall is not...
You can make it whatever you want. Make it any issue. Yeah, yeah. You guys, look. I appreciate the chance to be with you. I've got to get to the next town, so please stay and talk. We're going to Price. I've got to go to Price because we got a meeting at 4:30 there at Price. But I appreciate your being here. I appreciate the fact that we have different points of view, but we're all fighting for the same things. We love our country. We love our God. We love the freedoms that we have. We wish we had more freedom from the federal government. That I totally agree with. And I will do my very best, but I'm 1 of 100. I'll fight for what I believe in. But we recognize in our system, with these checks and balances, you have to get Democrats to also agree. And that's a real challenge. And I'll do my very best. Thanks, you guys. Good to be with you. Senator, thank you. Gray, sorry to put you on the spot. All right. Bye.